Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Scholars and Dollars. It is a podcast with South Carolina Student Loan, and we are very, very fortunate to have our very first guest in the office today hanging out with us and talking. And I want to introduce to everyone Dr. Joseph Ryan.
Joe works great.
Joe's what you've been telling me that I need to make sure.
That's what my mother called me. That's what everybody else says.
Fair enough. Well, I am Ray Jones. I'm the Vice President of Loan Programs with South Carolina Student Loan. And we've created this podcast to try to bring, shed some light on different programs around the state that either deals with higher education, workforce development, or some type of financial aid need or education. And I'll tell you, the program that we're going to talk about today actually kind of touches on all of that stuff. And it's an amazing program. But why don't we start with you? Why don't we start with maybe a little about yourself, how you got here and where you came from?
Well, I'm not that important. The program is, but I'll just introduce myself very briefly. Dr. Joe Ryan, distinguished professor over at your arch rival from here, from Columbia, over at Clemson Universities. But I founded about 16 years ago, I started a program called Clemson Life, Learning is for Everyone. And it's a post-secondary education program for young adults with intellectual disabilities. And the purpose is really had two main goals when we started it. Started with a handful of students, five students, just a couple of instructors, and we've now grown to 53 students. But the goals of the program was to increase employment outcomes for individuals with intellectual disabilities and independent living. So if you look at basically for employment, it's pretty abysmal for that population. It's probably the worst outcomes out of any disability. So overall, it's anywhere from about 17 to 24% employment. Mm. And our graduates are 96% employed after graduation.
So the outcome there?
The outcome is really good. And similarly, you know, for independent living is very poor because if you can't have a job, well, you're going to have trouble paying rent or anything else.
Absolutely.
So it's similarly abysmal, about 14% for independent living. And about two-thirds of our graduates live independently afterwards when they finish the program.
That is awesome. I was telling Joe earlier, one of the things that I've gotten the opportunity on, and when we were making jokes, he saw my University of South Carolina stuff in my office. As a USC student, we went back and forth on football and then decided, well, there's that. That's usually a short conversation for me. But I did get the opportunity through South Carolina Student Loan to have one of USC's students go through this process and get a feel for what Carolina Life does. And when we have such a great relationship at South Carolina Student Loan with Clemson. When I was speaking with our financial aid officers there, it really came to light that we needed to put a spotlight on this program and how important it is and how what amazing work you've done. So one of the things maybe we could talk about is the process for Clemson Life. How do you get in? How long does it take? What does that, those kinds of things?
You know, for anybody with a high school student, application process itself of going to college has always been challenging. Historically, when you think back and everything else, it's never an easy process there. Similarly, it's different. So we really recommend most programs. We have open houses each semester for families to learn about the programs and everything else and go through the application process itself, because in some ways it is similar to a traditional student going through, but other ways it's much very different there.
Sure.
So we have, and the problem with post-secondary education programs is they're relatively new. So when I started Clemson Life 16 years ago, there was only a little bit over 100 programs in the United States. Right today, there's a little over 300. So there's not many. And the average—
Still very small.
And the mean size of the program is only 16 students. Okay. So we're definitely one of the larger programs in the United States. So there's limited opportunities there. So unfortunately for parents, you know, if you wanted to go to USC or whatever else, there's a lot of people playing for a limited amount of slots there.
Yeah, sure.
Much more challenging for PSC programs. So we have a little bit over 100 applicants going for a dozen slots that we have each year.
Yeah.
So it's challenging. And so what we want to do is encourage people to look at all the different programs. And an easy way to do that, a good way, is on the Think College website.
Okay.
And Think College will list by the states, and they'll show all the different programs that are available in your state that you can do. Now, the challenge is intellectual disability is a broad category. So there's mild, moderate, severe, and so each school serves specific populations. And our niche that we've done is typically served more in the moderate frame. probably about 40 to 55 IQ is our median student coming through there. So that's kind of our target population. About half our students have Down syndrome. Another portion have, you know, autism, and there's over 200 causes for intellectual disability. So there's a variety of populations within that student body that we have. But so that's why it's so important not just to pick because you love USC, and I saw, you know, on the thing, they won the baseball championship in 2010-11 on your walls. Yeah, it's been a while, but that's okay.
Yeah, tell you.
But, you know, but many people go because my dad went there. I want to go there. And,
yeah.
And I would not recommend that because I think you really need to go to the school and find out what their, you know, specialty is, because some are for employment, some are for independent living, some are more for traditional coursework. So you really have to visit the program to find out what their mission set is for the program to find a good match between your son or daughter.
So I think the theory of that is pretty broad. I mean, if you were a family student just attending a normal process through one of our South Carolina colleges and universities, I think that would hold true for
sure.
Anyone, right? I mean, I think Furman's great for someone. USC is great for another.
If you want to be a constructional engineer, this school would probably be better than XYZ school.
Absolutely. Yes. So it's the same theory applies. Let's get to know each of those places and where those fits would be. A larger school, smaller schools, different ideas of it. I will tell you, you know, I mentioned to Joe earlier that this program does touch home for us at South Carolina Student Loan. Our CEO, Trey Simon's daughter has Down syndrome, and I'll tell you, while Trey did graduate from the University of South Carolina, his daughter is in love with Clemson Life. So you'd be very excited. They went to the, I think you mentioned that you could go visit and see and walk around and get an understanding for all of that. So he has taken his daughter there and loves that area and the job that you guys do. So they were all very impressed as they left with what they came out. So I was reading on the Clemson Life website, and one of the things I found interesting is that those students really are absorbed into the community and into the college itself. So they get a full range of experience.
They are completely integrated within the university campus. And so before we go forward, let me just explain one thing of the three different types of programs.
Okay.
So there are three different really categorizations of programs, and one is a truly completely fully inclusive program in which the student will take all traditional courses, okay? And those are typically for the higher functioning students. In other words, maybe you just need tutoring support after class to support that. You won't take as many credits. That's about a third, maybe a quarter of the program. On the other side of the spectrum is those are completely exclusive where they take all functional courses, how to, you know, for work, employment, for independent living, things of that nature. The majority, about three quarters of the programs actually are called hybrid. So you'll take both traditional coursework as well as functional academics. So, and that's kind of what Clemson Life is. So that's one of the most first questions that you'd want to ask when you visit these programs is what type of a program is it related to what type of goal? Because if you're very high functioning, you wouldn't want to take a lot of functional academics. Well, like my son can live independently on his own. He doesn't need all that assistance.
You're close to that anyway.
But if they're a lower functioning, I'm going to need a lot more supports to make it safe for my son or daughter to be there. Right. He's going to have, and so what we have is like independent living assistants to help them on campus for in the dorms. And so think of an RA on steroids. You know, so in other words, whatever my teachers teach you in the daytime, those independent living assistants are going to reinforce those skills at nighttime to make sure that they're safe.
Right.
And so we have what's a basic program where you live on campus in an apartment, three students with an independent living assistant, and those who demonstrate safety skills. So you're not going to leave the stove on. You're not going to leave doors unlocked or whatever else. They're going to go, you know, Ray's going to be great. We can move Ray off campus for the advanced program. We invite him back for the advanced program, in which case, you know, now you live off campus in apartments on your own, and we just supervise. So it's, in other words, we incrementally pull those supports back as your skills develop there. So that's more of a hybrid program to develop people, whereas more of a just fully inclusive is kind of like, hey, he's in the dorms with everybody else, and good luck. You know, so those are kind of, so, but based on the skill set for your child, you would make the best choice for that.
That makes perfect sense. I was seeing, you know, where there's opportunities for student government, there's opportunities for Greek life, and it kind of just depends on where you are in that program.
And we have, yes.
Things are
so available. We're included, you know, in more than a half dozen fraternities and sororities on campus, our students are members of. We actually started a club to help integrate, and it's called Volunteers for Life. And so it started with, you know, a dozen students helping out, you know, as tutors, as workout buddies. And they go, okay, Joe wants to lift weights or whatever else. And we'd sit down and go, hey, who can help be his buddy? And we're in the gym or whatever, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and do that. We are now the largest student organization on campus. We have over 650 students who volunteer to do everything from, we'll send out an email, I want to learn guitar. Send it out. Guarantee out of 650 students, somebody is pretty darn good at playing guitar. And they'll go, okay, I can help teach this skill. Somebody wants to learn about cooking, knitting, whatever the hobby is or what have you. So the 650 volunteers work directly with our students, and we also have mentor programs. Each student has a mentor to work on specific goals. So I may have a student who has, you know, social skill deficits. Maybe when I introduce, you know, shook your hand, I looked right at you. Okay, those are important skills to get a job and everything else. Sure. So maybe for Joe, you know, you're going to have Confederates. So bring them to your fraternity and introduce them to your friends. And I want you to practice those skills where he introduces himself, shakes hands. And so what you'll see is the parents will all say within that first semester, what they see the greatest improvement in is tremendously social skills.
Yeah, you know, and I think in college, one of the things that you find, and I'm always worried about social skills across the board now anyway, because of...
It's important for all of us.
It absolutely is, and I feel like sometimes we're losing some of that stuff in the way that we learn and those kinds of things, so especially important here. And, you know, one of the things I would say is when you have 600 volunteers that are college-age students that want to reach out and help, that obviously is a testament to how amazing this program is.
It's a testament to how amazing the students are. I know how amazing they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking how...
They're more mature 18-year-olds than I was in college when I was... That's all I can say. They're very impressive.
The program's impressive. The people that are helping volunteer. You guys are doing such a great job. Like I said, I mentioned the fact that Trey has met with many of you, your staff, and has such high things to say. And then one of the things that I saw was, you know, as you're preparing these young people for independent living and workforce development and things that go beyond just what this program is teaching them and setting them on a path, there are tons of employment opportunities that show up just on your website locally that are supporting this program and the kids that are in it.
We have been blessed. We started out running the program. My teachers, the graduates I hired as, you know, instructors for the program there. So they were special education majors.
Yeah.
And they're banging on doors and going, hey, you know, would you like to hire some of our students or whatever else? And, you know, they're not business backgrounds or anything else. And it's like, so we're kind of, and I mentioned previously, about 1 out of 10 family members will have somebody with a disability. So they kind of get it. They understand it.
Yeah.
The rest of the time is not only are we educating our student body there in Clemson Life, but we're also educating the campus as well as society about the strengths and capabilities of this wonderful workforce.
Yeah.
Because they have tremendous talents and they will actually perform as long as certain the tasks are repetitive. In other words, they can master that, they will outperform a traditional workforce. And so one of the examples of that is we worked with a development of a hotel, the Shepherd Hotel. We created a hospitality certificate program. Because the hospitality industry has the highest turnover of any industry in the United States.
Okay.
Very expensive to keep training new staff to come in there. Well, because many people go in there and go, well, I just need the cash for 6 months, a year, whatever else, and this is a part-time goal. Exactly. Well, this is a career for our students. So, you know, once they master that and they are just wonderful employees, they are excited to be at work every day, they perform their skills extremely well,
right,
and you have that stability of employment level. So it's a nice match between the hospitality industry and our programs. So we have a certificate there. So we help get, you know, certificates within the hospitality industry. So when they graduate, these are the skill sets they have, whether it be maintenance, whether it be front door, whatever the issue, you know, the skill set that we've trained them on. And there's hotels. And again, Clemson's not the biggest town of the thing. I mean, I'm here in Columbia. It's a big city. It's nice to be in a big city again. It's, you know, Clemson is one street, you know. It's like... So, but we can train them the skill set no matter where they came from. And our students come from 13 different states, you know, from California all the way up to Massachusetts. So when they go back home, there's hospitality industry everywhere. So the employment capability is waiting for them. So
I've heard very specifically about the hotel in Clemson that does such good work. So I was expecting to pull up your website and see, you know, the hotel, maybe a couple of different things, but there's probably 20 things inside Clemson University's campus that are employable opportunities, and probably that same number that's outside it. It's for such a small place. I'll tell you, that's a testament to how wonderful that is. And I can tell you that what Joe is saying is true. And you mentioned that 1 in 10 people know somebody or have someone with intellectual disabilities in their family, friends, what have you. My wife's aunt has a disability, and what you're saying about employment is so accurate. She has a job and has had it for years and years and years. And if she lives with her sister, her older sister, and I'll tell you, if they're 10 minutes late getting her to work, that is a problem. She is on time every time, does her job, and it's constantly rewarded, and they say what a wonderful thing she does. So I agree with you. That's not just speak talk. That's really what's happening, and I've seen it firsthand, and she's such a hard worker and dedicated, and like I said, she's got to be on time. Everything needs to be structured. So if there's jobs out there for people that need that kind of things, I strongly encourage them to look your way or look to the life programs to see.
We're very excited. And you're about success programs is, you know, again, developing those relationships. And then, but once you get the foot in the door, that footprint, they establish that relationship themselves. They prove their worth.
Yeah.
And one of the cases on was campus was facilities, because again, similar in the hospitality industry, they have a tremendous high turnover rate for on staff or on the campus there. And so I spoke with the director, Todd, and he was like, yep, by all means, we'll give it a shot. We'll give it, gave it a worker, and comes back and goes, you send as many as you can.
Yeah.
The simple fact is exactly what you said. They are never late. They are always motivated to work. And it's like, once you teach them that skill set, they're one of the best employees.
Very structured. At least Aunt Judy is a very structured young lady. We eat on at the same time. We do the things at the same time. And so
it has its benefits.
Very impressive. Absolutely. It's the opposite of me. Or at least that's what my boss keeps telling me, right? You're very unstructured. So, there's a place for all of that. Well, one of the things I think, you know, we mentioned, Joe, that South Carolina Student Loan provides assistance in these programs, but I don't ever want people listening to this podcast to think that what we're having a conversation surrounding has to do with loans. It's actually quite the opposite. I hope people look into this program and find what they need in these programs, but maybe you can give us a little idea of how they won't have to come to me to try to take out a loan. There's some aid that's out there available, both state and federal.
It's, you know, the financial costs are extremely challenging for these families. The simple fact is, like, for my son, Max, the minute he was born, I opened that 529 account, and I've been saving. Well, these programs didn't exist when many of these, you know, young adults are heading to college now. So unlike for most families, when they've been putting away, and they cost typically about the same price as whether your son's going to go to study for education or engineering or going to a post-secondary education program, you know, the expenses are very comparable in many respects, especially if you're doing a residential component of there.
Yeah.
So, you know, saving is an important component of that. You know, South Carolina, Governor McMaster is wonderful in giving, you know, they have scholarships for them for South Carolina residents, working with vocational rehabilitation centers, vary from state to state, but certain states support a lot in regards to that. We've opened, after we opened the program, went to development office, and we started with grant and aid. And so we basically, for grant and aid, is we had endowments. You can't call it scholarship, it's not academic based.
Yeah.
But to give families assistance in helping pay for our program fees and tuition. And so we've raised about $3 million already. Our goal is to get it up to $10 million. And so we can award basically 4% off of that principal that we saved. So we've given out about $126,000 last year to our students for NEET. So they fill out the FAFSA, if you're familiar with that. For every parent here is in college area, you know. But again, there's a tremendous need in regards to that. If it's a certified program like ourselves, they're available for federal grants.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of private organizations that can help. For instance, is Ruby's Rainbow is one that a lot of our students get for those with Down syndrome. So they give awards out for young students with Down syndrome.
Absolutely.
There's other ones for autism. And so there's a host of different possibilities where families can do. They've even go GoFundMe pages. I've seen that for families to do to help. But it is a financial burden for many families, for the simple fact is they weren't even aware these programs existed. And we're still, one of the reasons I'm so grateful for you having me today is many residents of South Carolina are still not aware of the different programs here within our own state.
So, and you know, one of the things that we try to be mindful of here is always, regardless of the program that we're trying to help fund, is responsible borrowing. And one of the things that I would say about this program, many programs, but very specifically a program like this, is that there are a lot of decisions that are made that are very emotional decisions. And I think when you have a family that says, I'll borrow or take out anything so that my child can get into this program. And that's wonderful. I don't mean that it's a bad idea to have. What I'm saying is there's an enormous amount of information out there that would keep someone from having to take out a student loan for this program. And I think for our listeners today, what I would tell you is that as I was trying to read up on Clemson Life specifically, the financial aid section of what you guys have on your website has an enormous amount of information. Many of the things that you just talked about there for people to take a look and see. The free application for federal student aid has links from Clemson Life's website that's takes people, if you're Pell Grant eligible, students would be able to use Pell Grants for this program. Also mentioning some of those federal grants, the SEOG grant is also available. So there's lots of information out there. And in the state of South Carolina, you're right, has done a very good job of trying to support these programs as well. And I believe, you can tell me, I'm not positive, but I believe there's 4 or 5 colleges or universities in South Carolina.
Yes, and so we're trying to expand it. Actually, I just finished training with Apple. So I wrote a grant to help train our students and our instructors on Apple technology, assistive technology, because really the future for disabilities is not necessarily to hire somebody to follow along as a job coach the rest of their careers, but to make them more independent through the use of technology there.
Right.
And so basically USC Aiken, Coastal Carolina, and Clemson University sort of wrote a grant. We're working with Apple to improve assistive technologies with the training of this population there.
That's awesome.
But again, Think College is the number one spot that I would turn people over to look at right away. And then you could look at from the different states. And again, because it's not, the only tuition difference for ours is the courses that a person with traditional courses would take. Since many of it's a program fee for the functional, cover the functional academics, there's really not a lot of price differential between an in-state and out-of-state student for many of these programs.
Yeah.
So that's for many people to be aware of, and they go, it's just about as, just as expensive whether I go to Virginia, whether I go, George Mason, whether I go to Florida or California.
So they need to be really broad, and that's
and that's a good way, because you may have family members also in different states that, hey, I've got a sister or whatever who can help look out if he has any issues if I send him to Florida or wherever it may be.
That's good to know. I think oftentimes we get, especially when you deal with, my dad went to Clemson, my mom went to Clemson, and we start being very narrow in what we're looking at. And it's a wonderful program, but it's nice to know there's lots of
stuff,
that are out there. Well, Joe, I tell you, thank you so much for hanging out with us. One of the things that I had on my list, and I don't even know if it's appropriate, I was like, hey, maybe you can give us a success story or two, but you kind of have done that, and if every one of them feels like
we have literally, I mean, it is without doubt, with whatever program that you go to, the graduates, when they're employed and living independently on their own, their quality of life is increased exponentially there. And again, many of the families that come to us, the simple fact is they understand that nobody is going to look after their son or daughter as good as they are as a parent.
Sure.
And so preparing them like any child so that they could be independent, so they can, live on their own and they'll be safe. There's no better feeling in the world.
I can't imagine that there is anything better than that. And I'll tell you, I don't have kids, so I can't imagine what that thing feels like. But you have to think that parents get as much out of this understanding that they're putting their kids in a place to succeed.
Because they come from 13 states. So many of our students have never been away from home for more than a night or so or whatever else. And now, they're confident enough with the support system that we have that they come from California, from Massachusetts and everything else, and trust the staff and the educators and the student body itself, to provide the supports for their son or daughter. But it's funny is at the end is, when that son or daughter becomes independent, when they come back, they're almost offended, like, my son doesn't want to come home anymore. In other words, and a lot of them want to stay in the Clemson. And we have 40 graduates who remained in the Clemson area there.
Yeah.
And so our next program we're opening is called ACES, is for the support, is to move them to Greenville, to Clemson, to Anderson, to support them in the local community there. And the parents, like, I never thought Joe was going to stay. In other words, it was like, so we have.
He was truly successful, and now you don't know.
So we have parents moving to Clemson now. So we have, so it was funny. So, they bought houses, they've sold their places in Chicago, and now moving down to Clemson. And like, I didn't realize we were going to be an influx of people here for both families and students.
A good friend of mine who is also a board member is an enormous Clemson fan. And and has worked for Clemson in their marketing area, alumni association area, and those kinds of things. And he consistently reminds me that that's God's country up there in Clemson. So it does have a special place for people to get.
Great, it's a great place to bring child. I love raising my son there.
And I will tell you, as a USC graduate, I have to admit it is a beautiful campus, and I do enjoy going.
They're both great schools, and as I said, my best friend is a graduate here. So every year I get those text messages, you know, with the trash talk once a year.
And I'll tell you, it usually is in November.
Yes, yeah.
He stops that conversation in November. Well, Joe, I'll tell you, you know, I know you guys are busy, and I know, you know, you've got a couple of hours drive to get back to God's country. And so we do appreciate you making your trip here and hanging out with us for just a
very grateful for the opportunity to share about post-secondary education programs nationwide and about Clemson Life. And if anything else, feel free, you know, the best sources, again, reach out to our website. We have open houses, as do most programs.
Right.
We have them each semester, and we'd love to, you know, have people come and visit. So we have 200 or so people visit, families visit each open house.
Absolutely. Take a look at it. We'll get that contact information out, link to this podcast so people can see it, can read back to it, and we'll make sure that
they're... Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, man.
Pleasure.
Appreciate it, Joe. Thank you.
Bye-bye.